Since it's been a whole year since I was last here, there are a lot of things that I forgot. And one thing that I now remember is that you don't have a clock or a watch somewhere to tell me when to stop. But you know something? We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. I am reading from Exodus chapter 3, from the very beginning. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to him, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses!" Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that's full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites all live." Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me, and I've seen just how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. "So get going, Moses. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I'll be with you. And this will show you that I am the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come now to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they are going to ask me, 'What's this God's name?' What am I supposed to say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent you.'" God continued, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of the ancestors, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how all generations will remember me.'" Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, O God, and we shall be recreated, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. I have a long sermon prepared, and I have little time to share it with you because we also have Holy Communion. And I'm in a bit of a rush because they're serving spaghetti at dinner at our church in St. Paul. And I promised Pastor Darren that I would pay for him and his wife and their children. And they told me it's $100 a piece, you know. Okay, I was expecting $400. We come expensive, we Methodists. No, not really. Okay, so I tried to leave my shoes for somebody here, and nobody took them. I tried to give the money in the offering plate. They didn't want to take that either. You don't want anything from me, so I might as well just close my book and go home. No, I do want to share with you some ideas tonight, this morning, that take me back to a time when I had an argument with my younger brother, the middle brother. We were four kids, me, my sister, my middle brother, and the youngest. So my middle brother and I used to get into a lot of arguments, and the argument had to do with who's the greatest, kind of like, you know, in the Bible, who's the greatest? And my brother always said, well, I can be president of the United States because I was born in Dallas, Texas, and you can't because you were born in India. It wasn't until years later when the whole John McCain thing began, he was running for president, and it was discovered that if you are a natural-born U.S. citizen, you can be the president of the United States. Since I am a natural-born citizen, my father's American from Louisiana, and I have a U.S. birth certificate, report of birth, filed in New Delhi at the consulate. And I've always traveled on a U.S. passport when I was a minor with my father's passport, now on my own. I could be president of the United States, and this could be my country. But whose country is this anyway? Is it the soldier who fights for our freedom? One might say he's just following the orders of the president. The soldier does not own the nation. Okay, does it belong to the president who orders the military? No, I could argue that the president, like every member of Congress and the state governments, is an elected public servant. Whose country is this anyway? I want to suggest that this country, like all countries, belongs to the one who made all creation. God made it. It is God's country. We may own a land or house, but it's not really ours. My brother in Houston became very much aware of the fact that his house and land may be in his name for a time, but he can't control what happens to it. Hurricane Harvey came along, and my brother was kicked out of his home, returning a week later to find that his home was just barely intact. The water just came short of his home. All the earth and all life in it belongs to God. We belong to God. Often we forget it, like children fighting over a toy. We like to assert our authority. But then something happens that reminds us that we're not in charge of our lives, our destiny. It may be an illness, or in the case of Moses, it was a vocational change. We can't predict the future. We can only prepare for it. So what does God want of us? God wants us to realize that, like Moses, we're standing on holy ground. No matter where we go, at all times and in all places, when we're under the influence of the laws of nature, the laws of physics, chemistry, biology, we're standing on holy ground. Today is World Communion Sunday. It's the one day in the year when we Christians remind ourselves of two things. First, that the Church of Jesus Christ is universal. It's global. For on this day of the Lord, people are celebrating the Eucharist feast of the Lord in every time zone. Second, we remind ourselves that the Church of Jesus Christ is every when, not just everywhere. That is to say, the early disciples celebrated Holy Communion within the early churches almost 2,000 years ago. And even when you and I are long gone from this holy ground, followers of Christ will remember when the Lord's Supper, his sacrifice on our behalf, paid by his blood. So what are we to do if we're on holy ground? We answer God's call as Moses and Abraham did. They made a holy covenant to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul. And God blessed them for it. They lived by God's rules, not their own. Jesus had an interesting view of his country. On the one hand, he said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Was Jesus truly a homeless person? Did you ever ask yourself that question? The one whom you follow, was he a homeless person? In Mark chapter 2, we learn that he had a house in Capernaum. Jesus had a house in Capernaum. Also in John chapter 1, he invites people to stay in his house in Capernaum. And when the four friends of a paralyzed man broke a hole in his roof, he didn't get mad at them when plaster was falling on his head. He didn't sue them for a new roof and punitive damages. He healed the man. With Jesus, all of this is God's country. We see all people created in the image of God. People matter to God. We accept the commandment of Christ to love them. In Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the sheep and goats, Jesus tells us that those who were condemned to hell weren't the evildoers. They were the ones who were apathetic and turned away from the least and the last and the lost. But those who showed them love and caring were invited into the kingdom. Holy ground is all around. Holy ground is all around. What about right here in Galleon, Ohio? Do we still act like Moses when he saw a burning bush? Yes, we do. I want to tell you about something that happened to me earlier this year. I was on my way into Bucyrus, and I got a call from the police department, said, can you come back to Galleon? We have an incident where someone has discharged a firearm within city limits. That's pretty dangerous, isn't it? Yes? Everybody agree with me there? Okay, I got there, and we helped the police resolve the situation in a peaceful manner. And when everything was said and done and the police started heading home, I turned around and looked at the community, and guess what? People got their lawn chairs and set them up in their front yards. They were lined up there in each front yard. There were little bunches of lawn chairs with people out there watching the show. Yes, and I'm thinking, what if that wasn't a pea shooter but an AR-15 or an AK-47? Where would these people be today? The hospital would be full, wouldn't it? But isn't that what we do? That's our natural tendency as humans. We see something strange, unusual, amazing, and we want to go investigate. That was a humorous moment at the end of a stressful time. What did I do? I went around and shook hands with all those new neighbors and made some new friends. Hi, how did you like the show today? Wasn't that awesome? Don't we have a very fine police department who did their work and sheriff's department? Oh, no, I didn't quite go that far, but I did make some new friends that day. Why? Because holy ground is all around. All people matter to God. The victims of violence matter to God. The people perpetrating it matter to God. The people who resolve violent acts matter to God. The people who stand and watch matter to God. So you don't have to take your shoes off anymore. But this land isn't your land. It isn't my land. It's God's country. Let's treat it that way. Amen? Amen.